for that fine introduction. Certainly appreciate it. They put me out of school. They couldn't believe that someone as simple and dumb as me would want to come to school. But the good thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it's pretty simple. And so a simple man can preach that simple plan. I'm indebted to the Southwest School of Bible Studies for all that they did to me. This congregation had a part in supporting me and my family while we were there, so we're indebted to every one of you and your faithfulness to Jesus Christ. To the elders, we're indebted for allowing the work that goes on here to go on, allowing and making sure the congregation follows Christ, allowing the preaching that goes on from the pulpit. There are not that many strong congregations of the Churches of Christ that are left, and so we're indebted to the elders. We're indebted to the deacons that do the work here, the work that often goes unseen when eyes are sleeping and eyes are closed, and they come and they do the work. And we're indebted to every one of the members who follow those godly elders and continue to strive for that crown that's laid up in heaven. And so we're certainly grateful to that. Brother Rodriguez, I certainly appreciate you switching with me this morning. I know it was short notice. We had a funeral to attend to this morning, and so we certainly appreciate that. I'm certainly glad to be on this lectureship, even though I was just replacing somebody. We pray for Brother Martin and his work that he's got going on as he's leaving this area, transferring to a new area, and may God bless him. I just feel so grand and so lucky to be on the stage with such heavyweights in the preaching business. Talking about Israel Rodriguez, I see Brother Baker up there, and his lovely wife sitting next to him. Devin's going to be going to school. We see the elders from Shirts. I just feel blessed to be in your presence. Now, as I turn my attention to the Tullers, I don't know what to say to them about how much we love them and how much we appreciate them and the good work that they do. I just can't wait to get to heaven because countless souls are going to go up and want to testify of the work that the Tullers did. They've been in foreign lands or wherever they may have been located at. They can see these sound preaching brethren and men because of the work that they do. And so we stop and we pause and we acknowledge you and we say thank you. We say thank you and God bless you. We pray for you each and every day and may you continue to do that work. There is a mistake on my lesson. There's a couple of mistakes that I quickly want to get to and give you the corrections. One is on page number 27. One's on page 27. You'll see it on number 5. It's under intercession. The letter is B. Instead of reading 2 Corinthians 137, that's supposed to be 2 Corinthians 13:7. And please, I sent this to him like this. As I was going over it once again before I came, I said, uh-oh. Should have let my wife check it, but nonetheless, I did not. The next one's on page 28, and it's number 5, using prayer to be prideful while scorning man. It should not be Luke 8, 11, and 12, but it should be Luke 18, 11, and 12. And so those were my typos. I certainly am excited that my wife and my daughter are with me, and we have a friend, Dorothy, who's with us, and we appreciate them. And continue to pray for us and the work that's going on in Natalia. Pray for my family as I'm an old man and we're having an addition to my family. Somehow my wife got pregnant and after 13 years, we're going to have another baby. My daughter's almost 13 years, and so this is going to be a change to us. That's why you see all this gray coming out. It's just coming out now. Congregational prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The Bible states, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Congregations ought to be involved in prayer. Really, all we have to do is look at that verse, and we could stop this lesson now. If it's not obvious by that verse that the Lord's will for us is to be a people that are involved in prayer. Why? Because prayer shows dependence upon Him. Prayer is mankind's way of speaking to God. Listen to what I'm saying. Prayer is mankind's way of speaking to God. We speak to God and commune with God in prayer. Why wouldn't we want to be a praying people? In prayer, we express the desires of our hearts. We express the thanksgiving that we have for being who we are, Christians, nothing more, nothing less. I don't know about you, but today I'm glad to be a Christian and a member of the Church of Christ. I'm glad that someone introduced me to Christ so that I could be a member of his blood-bought institution, the church. I'm glad that I'm not Jehovah's Witness this afternoon. I'm glad that I'm not a Mormon this afternoon. And not that they're bad people, but somebody has pulled the wool over their eyes. And I'm glad someone opened up my eyes so that I could see clearly. I didn't like walking around in the blind, in the dark. And so it is with prayer that I always thank God for allowing me to be simply a Christian. Oh, we ought to be praying people, you see, because it's in prayer that we commune with God. We talk to him about our wants and our desires for the congregation, for the world, for each individual. You see, the fact is this: God is not coming to us in visions or revelations today. God's message to man today is simply in his inspired book. And so we ought to be people that pray. Why? Number one, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to stop and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." That's a privilege that other people do not have. I have it because I am a child of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12, the Bible states, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers." It's a privilege of those who are righteous to go to God in prayer. As congregations, we ought to strive to go to God in prayer. We ought to see the privilege that is tied up in it. We ought to spend a little bit more time than what we do praying. It's a way that we enjoy our fellowship with God. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. It's a konai. That fellowship, that communion with God happens in prayer. Why don't we pray like we should pray? Why don't we pray for God's help when needed? Why don't we pray because it's simply commanded for us to pray? Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, he says that men ought to pray always. Men ought to pray always. Why aren't we a praying people? We ought to pray to God. We ought to give him thanksgiving for his blessings. We ought to thank God for what he has done for us. You remember that God says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 13, he says, "When it comes to my house," I don't know about the other houses out there. I don't know about all those other places. But God says, "When it comes to my house, it shall be known as a house of prayer." Now, what's our problem? What's our problem today? We're talking about developing the congregation, and you want to know why congregations have stunned it? You want to know why congregations are taking the name Church of Christ off the building? You want to know if you happen to get that liberal paper, and I don't tell you you should, but I need to know what's going on with them, and so I get that paper, the Christian Chronicle, and it tells me what's going on in those old liberal camps. We have them changing names. We have them adding music, adding instrumental music. And here's what's so funny about this. The Christian Chronicle act like they just now went off. The largest church in Dallas has added instrumental music as if this just went off. They had just went off. And know what they said to? They said it was to their Saturday service. There's where they went off a long time ago. You should have been talking about that. As if the Saturday service was okay. What made the Saturday service wrong now was that they added instrumental music. No, I'm sorry. They went off a long time ago. But I need to know what's going on with those liberals, what to combat. Fact is this: they're not known as praying people. Prayer shows a dependency upon God. I go to God with all my needs, all my wants, wishes, and my cares. I go to God to show how much I love him and thank him for loving me. And it shows that I am totally dependent upon him. What changes? Just think back to when you were baptized, when you were taught the gospel. Most of us, the reason that helped us to move is that we understood that we could not make it to heaven on our own. We understood that we were not good enough, and so we said that we needed to be dependent upon someone. I know the world from day one up starts to say, be independent, be a man, stand on your own two feet. What God says, you need to be dependent upon me. And we need to teach people, especially young men, because that's why we don't have a problem with the men in the church, because we don't have them, because we're not teaching them in our homes that it's okay to be dependent upon somebody. If you're going to be dependent upon an almighty God. We tell them, no, that's not what men do. That's a lie. I asked my young people, as we're involved in a boys to men class, I asked them, I said, what does it mean to be a man to you? And you know that none of them said that being a man is simply being independent. Answers like it's being responsible, it's being older. And so where do we get this false ideal that being a man means to be independent? We need to build dependency upon God. And the first step is doing that is to offer ourselves in prayer to God. We as congregations need to start holding hands and holding up the banner of cross and start lifting our voices in prayer to God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed and blessed and holy and magnificent is thy name. We need to start praying for those that are lost in this world. We need to pray a little bit more. I don't know about you, but one of the things we instituted in the congregation when I got there is, and we don't do it enough, on the first Wednesday of every month, they sing. And I like singing. I love singing. Don't get me wrong, because singing, we know singing is going to happen around the throne of God. I don't know if I'm going to sound the same there, but I know that singing is going to happen around that throne of God. Know that we will be involved in doing God's works. Well, also, but what about prayer? Some of you that are sitting out there are more seasoned enough. Like you see my little pepper, salt and pepper through here. And you can remember times when we just came into the building simply to pray. We didn't come for nothing else. We didn't come to potluck. We came to show our dependency as a congregation on an almighty God. And so we stopped everything that was in our lives. And we came to the building and something, one of those Wednesdays of the month was dedicated as simply prayer. That's all we did. We simply reinstituted that at our congregation. I said, we need to show more dependency upon God, people. We need to pray a little bit more. And we do it, it's not that often, but every fifth Sunday. There's four of them a year. Everybody, all the way from my youngest people, we hand out cards and they write down their prayers. And then I dismiss them, and we rotate them every fifth Wednesday. We have a different adult teach those younger ones because we send them out. Well, it's a long time for them just to sit quiet and listen to prayer. And the rest of us, I hand out the cards of people's prayer requests. The men study them for about 3 minutes, and then we start with one, and we designate one to end the prayer. And we spend that whole hour in prayer to God, telling God how dependent we are as a congregation on him, how thankful we are that we are his children, how dependent we are as a community upon him, how if he doesn't work in us and we don't work in our community, then our community might as well fold up its tents, you see. Why? Because God's people will be nowhere to help them. We have to start showing more dependency upon God. We simply have to. If we don't, then the church will not continue to grow. It will stay stagnated. It will be as if we have lead on our feet. There will be no moving forward. We will just be standing still, because we will then show that we're not dependent upon God, but we are simply dependent upon man. But there's nothing that man can do, you see. Man doesn't have the power to change communities. Man doesn't have the power to change lives. Man doesn't have the power to save anyone. You see, it's because of God and who God is that this world is what it is. Why does the sun come up? Because of God and his power. Why does moonlight light the world at night? Because of God and his power. Why am I able to take breath? Because of God and his power. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. You didn't get here on your own. You got here by an almighty God, and it's time that we ought to come together and say, thank you, God. Thank you for working in our lives, and let us show how dependent upon him we are in everything. Let's move quickly into the body as we look at the lesson. He wanted me to talk about the types of prayers, and we have them there, the five types of prayers that are brought to us, and I have the Greek words, and that's just for your own benefit. I don't wish for you to memorize that or anything, but it wouldn't be a bad idea, because the mark of a good Jewish boy was what? He had all the Old Testament scriptures right here, and so we're able to do it if we choose to do it. I have to fight this battle with kids. Yeah, where's your memory verse? Well, I couldn't remember. Oh, okay. Then I ask them this, what's your favorite song? And they all know now. Tell me the lyrics to your favorite song. Well, you can remember. Isn't that, look at that. You can remember, but you remember what you want to remember. Then I ask them, do you got a boy you like? Yeah. What's his phone number? Well, you can remember people you love too, and their numbers and things. And if you love God like that, you'll start remembering his word. It won't be that difficult. If you listen to God's word as much as you listen to that music, you'll put it in your mind and remember. So don't tell me that you can't remember memory verses. And so it wouldn't be a bad idea to even go through and memorize some of these things. And when we talk to God, the type of prayer we have is praise. We praise God for his power. We praise God for his wisdom. We praise God for his glory. We praise God for his holiness. We praise God for his righteousness. We praise God for his mercy and his long suffering. We simply, when we come to God in a prayer of praise, we're praising and showing reverence to an almighty God. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 2 brings us a type of praise prayer. And so we ought to be people that are praising God in our prayer. We ought to be a type of people that when we pray, that we show thanksgiving. We're thanking God for all that he has done for us. That was from our conception. That was from when the sperm, excuse me, young folks, but when it fertilized the egg, that is when you were created. Not like some people would have you to believe 9 months later. But God start watching out for you even as that act started to happen and you started to form within the inner workings of your mother's belly. And God was there with you, there comforting you. And it's been said many a times that as a child was to get restless in his mother's womb, and you wonder why sometimes that people have a little indention right here. Many times they said that God put his finger right there to quiet and settle us down while we were waiting to come forth into this world and see all that our mothers and fathers were doing. And so we ought to thank God for that. Not only for what he has done, but we ought to thank God for what he continues to do. I have two legs that I continue to walk on. I have shoes that are on my feet. You know, I bought a new tie to speak today. That's a blessing from God. That's something that I got to stop and thank God for. And I didn't see anybody walking to the building when I came. And so you came in automobiles and you ought to stop for once in a while and say, thank you, God, that I have a way to get from A to B and back to A. I have a wife that loves me, and I say, thank you, God, because it's not easy loving me all the time. And I say, thank you, God. I have a daughter that obeys me and listens to me and loves us unconditionally, and I stop and I say, thank you, God. I'm allowed to enter into worship service. I'm allowed to lift up my voice and pray to God. And I say, thank you, God, for the privilege of being able to pray to you, for listening to our prayers, for working in our lives. I thank God that he's put a president to rule this nation over us. I thank God that he's given us a government that rules and helps us to live quiet and peaceable lives. And isn't that what the Bible says that the government helps us to do? Pray for the kings and rulers, because it's by them that we are able to live quiet and peaceable lives. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think around verse number 2, he talks about it. So we ought to be people that go to prayer for thanksgiving. Another type of prayer is confession. Usually sometimes I'm not dressed in my best. Sometimes I get muddy. I go out and I muddy myself up. And I have to go to God and confess. I have to say, God, I found out once again that you are always right. that I always should live my life by what your word says. I didn't do it this time, but I'm going to do it from now on. Help me and forgive me, you see. I was depending on myself once again too much. But I'm sorry, Lord, I found out how really stupid I am. And we go to God and we confess our sins before God. And when we ask for forgiveness, He is justful and faithful, and He forgives us. That's the type of prayer that we need to. We need to be people that confess. Confession, that's something, that's one prayer that's almost left the church altogether. I can add up how many prayers of confession we had last year on my hands. How many people came and said, I transgressed against an almighty God, and I was out in the public and people could have seen me. I need not only you, but the whole community to know that God is right and I was wrong. We don't have enough people saying that. Yet they'll be down in the middle of town and they'll get mad and start cursing at their wives, or they'll be at a basketball game and get mad at the referee and start yelling and acting a fool at the basketball game. And everybody in the community seeing you, and you act like you ain't got to say nothing. Just the fact that I'm here ought to be good enough and show you that I'm sorry about it. No! God wants you to humble yourself before His mighty throne. It's time for you to have some humility. Humble yourselves and say, God was right, I was wrong. The people out there already knew that anyway. You ain't telling us nothing we didn't already know. We all been in those shoes before. We all have walked away from God from time to time. We ought to be people enough that come forward and say, you know what, God, I was wrong, and you are right, and you are always right. Forgive me. Forgive me for being so plain stupid. That's all sin is, being enticed by the devil. And it amazes me that we just don't have that happening no more. We're teaching those new converts that they don't have to, as if they can just come and sit and assimilate themselves with the people of God. You may think you can assimilate yourselves with God's people without confession, but I tell you this, if you ain't got it right, you may go the next 30 years coming and going every service, but they'll hold that one against you. Why? Because you had pride. I'm not going to deal with that. I think they're going to deal with that at Shenandoah in the lectures. That's your subject. So I know you guys are going to be there to hear that. But pride will keep a man from obeying the gospel. Keep a man from confessing his faults. But when I say man, I mean mankind. Women, I'm including you. Children that have been of age and baptized, I'm including you. So that's a type of prayer. Then we have a type of petition. We ask for things that we need. And now that's the most common one. Isn't that the most common one in the church today? Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, help me over here. Lord, give me this. Give me that. Give me a big home in the sun. I want. We get too much of that type of prayer. Even though that is a type of prayer, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we ought to go to God and ask Him for things we need. But shouldn't we ask Him for more courage to be able to approach someone and let them know that Jesus saves? Shouldn't we ask Him for more opportunities to be able to sit down and study His word? Shouldn't we ask Him to put us in more difficult situations so that we can see how much He has strengthened our faith? Oh, I like to be put in difficult situations, you see, because then I know that God has been working with me and through me. You see, because when you're put in a difficult situation, then you understand how much God has blessed you with. You know, if I was to sit here and to tell you all about my past, you would say, wow, he's gotten a lot of blessings. He's gotten a lot. God has blessed him. You see, those kind of things, those difficult things, when we ask for those difficult things, does anybody ever ask to be put in a situation in which they can see their faith strengthened? Some of you saying, are you crazy? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You may not know you do, but you do. When you pray for things, the only way for you to know if you got it is what? For it to come upon you. A lot of times when we pray, we're asking for trials and we just don't know. When the trials come, that's usually when we get to running and to leaving. Wondering, God, well, why did you do this to me? Because you asked. That's why I did it to you. You asked me. I let Satan have some free reign with you because you asked me. But I'm going to be there. Don't we read the Bible, Job? You remember what Satan accused him of in the book of Job? God, you put up a hedge around him. I can't touch him. He'll do the same for you. He'll show you a way that temptation can be overcame. We know that all things work together for good to them that love us. God, I want to be able to work in people's lives. People that are have experienced some suffering and some pain. Satan has some free reign and something happens. Satan cashes in on someone that's been living wicked within your family. So God can use you to help someone else. Satan has the right to cash in any time because the wages of sin are what? Death. We forget about that. Then we want to blame God. Give credit where credit is due. Satan did it, but he had the right to do it at any time. When you sin, it's death. Brings death. You see, and now we can understand how much thanksgiving I ought to have because God spared my life. Even though I deserve to die, he spared my life so I could have an opportunity to get myself right. And this is that same all-knowing God, that omniscient God. Psalm 139, about the first five verses, talks about his omniscience. This is that same omniscient God that knows all things. He knew you were going to sin, and he knew what you were going to do before you even did it. But yet he spared our life once again. Thank you, God. Then we talk about a prayer of intercession when we pray for others. Do we pray for the lost? Do we pray for the kings and the government? Do we pray for the president? Do we stop? Because I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for that man. Well, the fact is he's there and he's going to need some help even more. If he wasn't the one that you wanted in there, you didn't want him in there for some reason, so you ought to pray twice for him. Instead of once a day, you ought to pray twice a day. Because you already knew he needed some help. And if he got in there, then you know he needs more help. He's going to need God to work through him to bless us. And so we ought to go in the morning and at night for that man. I didn't vote for him. Now that's even more reason to pray for him. You know he needs God's guidance. Because you know without God, he may start doing some crazy thing. Voting on the same-sex marriages and things like, you see, we can stop that when we start to pray. Because when we start to pray, it may not put them in action, but it will put us in action. That's the problem with the world, is we're not acting enough. We react after they have acted. And that's not how we ought to be. We ought to be people of action. Isn't that what the book of Mark is all about? Jesus showing that he was a man of what? Action. And we as people of God have start being people of reaction instead of action. We need to start acting, folks. We know that stuff is coming. Let's combat it. Let's meet it head on. Let's teach them the book. You having struggles at work? I got the cure to your struggles right now. You baptize everybody in that job. You sit down and you have a Bible study. You invite them to Bible study every day until they accept. Until they accept. And then you start with the owner of it or your boss, and you start baptizing every single one of them, and your problems will go away. That's how you deal with problems at work. That's exactly how you deal with them. You go to God in prayer and ask him, open up an opportunity for me to sit down and study your word with him. Lord, help me. Intercessions. You have the scriptures to that. Prayer that is acceptable. It's addressed to God. John chapter 17, that whole chapter, isn't that what Jesus did? Lord, teach us to pray. Who did he say pray to? Me? Pray to me. Lord Jesus, no, he said pray to the Father, our Father. And so we need to put this nonsense to rest. These people running around here, you can pray to Jesus, you can pray to Jesus. That's nonsense. If you know anything about typology of the Bible, it would mess up the whole typology of the Bible. Because why? Jesus is my high priest. They didn't go to the high priest and pray to the high priest. They went through the high priest to God. And that's Jesus' role for us today. And so you can, if you understand typology, I'll put that nonsense to rest too. But the fact that Jesus said, address them to the Father, ought to put that nonsense to bed. Prayers should be in the name of Christ. Prayers ought to, we ought to have a forgiving spirit. must be in the heart of one that prays. Prayer must be in harmony with the will of God. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. You remember Jesus saying that. In harmony with the will of God, not what I want. Do we pray like that anymore? Do we hear those types of prayers within the congregation? Not our will, Lord, but your will be done. Let your will be done in each and every member's lives here, Father. Is it his will that we visit? Is it his will that we study? People that have that mindset will be people that are in action, doing those things that God would want them to do. Because they said, Lord, your will be done. And that puts us in action when we do the will of God. We must pray in faith. We must pray with humbleness. We must abide with Christ as we pray. We must pray, be a person that practices righteousness to pray. And all these scriptures are down there and there. We must be a keeper of the commandments of God. We must pray fervently and earnestly. Fervently and earnestly. That's what it means when he talks about pray without ceasing. Pray fervently and earnestly. Pray like you mean it, in other words. Don't just sit there and give them mumbo jumbo. Don't just recite that old same memorized prayer every time you're asked to come forward and lead a prayer for the people of God. You come up and we already are starting to pray the prayer because you say the same thing each and every time. Vain reputation, even though you don't mean it because you're not out doing what you even ask of God to do. And so it becomes vain. It becomes useless. You have to, can you pray all night? Can we have a prayer meeting? What happened when bringing in the new year with prayer? Gathering together as God's people. Well, a lot of us would say, yeah, we'll be here at 11:45, new year come at 12. No, we got to come in at 9:30. Let's hear some preaching. And then let's hold hands and pray the new year in. Let's pray for the work of the church. Let's pray for the preacher, the elders, the deacons, their wives, their children. Rather than talking about, oh, that minister got some bad children. Yeah, because he hangs around your children. Stop letting your kids hang around their kids. They'll be all right. Start praying for them instead of talking. Let's be people that just simply come and pray together. We get angsty in a congregation when the prayer goes longer than we think it should be. Well, he prays so long. We're praying over the food. How much food we got? All you got to do is say, Lord, bless this food. Let's go eat. Got to be able to sit down and as many people as are within our congregation, each person ought to be able to pray for 1 hour. Have every man give them 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Pray for the next 20 minutes. And then it passes on to the next man. You lead the prayer for the next 20 minutes. And then you lead the prayer for the next 20 minutes. And when we finish, we finish. I got a lot to talk to God about. God answers prayer. He answers them. We have the answers that he says yes. He says no. He says wait. He gives them something different and more than asked for. He says yes. You remember when Hannah prayed that God would send her a son? And you know what God did? God sent her a son. And you know how I know God sent her a son? Because if you understand what that son of hers name is, Samuel, it means asked of God. You see, she had asked God for a son, and God said yes. And so I know that prayer works. God will say yes to our prayers at times. Sometimes he simply says no. Father, let this cup pass from me. No. Something that is necessary for us to go through. If he told his own son no, why are you so surprised when God says no? That's a word that we just simply don't like to hear. We need to tell more kids no sometimes. You see, we got parents that are afraid to tell their kids no, but God is not one that is afraid to say no. It's not what's right for you now. It's not best for you. If I gave it to you, you couldn't handle it. And yes, he's answered some of your prayers because some of you have been praying that you win the lottery. And God said, no. You wouldn't be able to handle the $1 million if I gave it to you. You wouldn't know what to do. You'd just go plumb crazy. we probably never see you again. And so God is looking out for your best interest and says, no. God says, my word is worth more than any lottery could ever produce. You must understand these things. James chapter 4 and verse number 1 through 4 teaches us that God says no. And then sometimes he says, wait. You remember when Paul wanted to go over to Rome in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 10. Well, when we look in Acts, the book of Acts, in verse chapter 27 and 28, we learn that it was a span of 3 years past before God allowed Paul to go on to Rome. Sometimes he tells us, we're going to give you something different because you don't need what you're asking for. Paul says, let this thorn that I have in the flesh pass from me. God says, I'm going to give you something different, and my grace is what it is, and it's sufficient for thee. You see, God will answer prayer. There's power in the word of in prayer. I have in the book hindrances to prayer. Why sometimes as a congregation, when we pray, that God is not even working in our lives? Because simply, number one, is sin in the camp. That's the biggest reason. Because we let allow sin to go unchecked. And when sin is in the camp can't move forward. We know that lesson already. We already know it. And you see, there's power in prayer. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 17 all the way through 20, that's his whole culmination of the point, is that there's power in prayer. In prayer, just think about this. In prayer, God the Father created the heavens and earth. He created all life. He in six days, and on the seventh day he rested. And this same power is now at my disposal when I go to God in prayer. Just think of the awesome power you have. God rotates the earth perfectly around the sun. And this same power is in my disposal when I pray. There's power in prayer. I don't understand why God's people will not be people that pray. The power that is in it. Great is our Lord, the psalmist said, and mighty in power. Oh, we have all that. It's like bottling it up in a bottle when we go to God. It's just so much power. It just blows my mind. Just to think about it, it's the same God that makes sure the sun comes up and the sun goes down and the moon comes up and the moon. It's the same God. It's the same God that Joshua prayed to, and the earth stood still for one day. It's that same power that we have when we go to God in prayer. Why won't we pray? We as God's people need to be a praying people. We need to show our dependency upon an almighty God. If we are going to change congregations, it is only going to come through the avenue of prayer. If we are going to change family, it's only going to come through the avenue of prayer. It's our job to be a praying people. God says, my house will be known as a house of prayer. And we need to make that come true in 2007. We need to get God's house back to being known as a house of prayer. People ought to be running you down in the streets. Hey, stop right there. Because I know those people you assemble with are praying people. Can you go to God on my behalf? Can you go to God on my behalf? People will do this when they understand that you people are praying people. That's how congregations are developed. It's developed upon the word of God, and God's word commands us to pray. And that we ought to do. We ought to pray, and we ought to pray without ceasing. Psalm chapter 55 and verse number 22, as we close this lesson, he says, cast your burdens upon the Lord because he cares for you. Will not you bring all your concerns in 2007 to the throne of God? Do you want to grow? I'm not talking about numerically because I'm not caring about that really. Numerical growth comes out of a product of us doing what we're supposed to, teaching. The word will not come back void, guaranteed. I don't like when we go to places and they have how many baptisms up there on the board. If you want to have something up there, how many Bible classes did we teach? You see, that will tell me you've gotten baptisms. Why? Because you're teaching Bible classes. And the word of God, that's where the power is in. It's not in you And it's not in anybody else in the congregation. It's in the Word of God. And so if you want to keep track of something, keep track of how many personal Bible studies did we have in 2007. And I guarantee you, if you have some of those, that you'll have some baptisms byproduct of it, because it's the power is in God's Word. We show our dependency. Draw near to God in 2007, and He will draw near to you. I thank you for your attention. May God bless us, and may we always be people that are concerned with prayer. God bless us.